for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903. Saturday afternoon, September the 2nd, 2000. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey is the teacher of the afternoon.
I saw them sexual sins upstairs. I said, we have to do this without the men around. It worked real good. I just thought I'd let you men know. So I hope they delivered y'all down here. So we got it made. Praise the Lord. The Lord is so good. Oh, me. Didn't you enjoy that song that child sang? A beautiful voice. Beautiful voice. She's just a... Where's the mother? How old is she? 12? Gracious me. Wonderful. I can never remember. I've been knowing her a long time, but I just couldn't remember how old she was. I didn't know she could sing. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you this afternoon for your love. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning, Father. And so we just come now boldly to the throne of God and just say, Lord, we've come to just ask you to minister to us and through us this afternoon. We ask, Father, that you give us ears to hear you, eyes to see, and spiritual eyes to see, and prepare our hearts to receive. And Lord, let the word come forth that you want. And Lord, I just thank you that you love us. I thank you for all that you've given unto us in Jesus' name. Now bind the enemy off this place. I come against any spirits that were left from the deliverance in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you send an angel in and sweep the church, drive out every spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind sleepiness and tiredness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just loose life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I'm going to share a little bit for a little while on what the Lord gave me. And I had three titles here. So take your pick. It said, Demons Enter to Destroy, How Demons Come to Destroy, and Demons Bring Infirmity. So what I had really titled it was that Demons Come In to Destroy. And I also want to. I'm going to share some on healing, on spirits that bring infirmity, and we're going to do deliverance on a lot of sickness things this afternoon. I got a whole notebook full. Not all of it's deliverance, but we're going to use it. Okay. Bear with me. We're in a war. Do you believe we're in a war?
Yeah.
If you're not doing warfare, you're just not doing what the Lord would have you to do. We're in a battle. It's not a little scrimmage either. It's a out-and-out war. And God is trying to get us to put on the full armor of God and do the battle He's called us to do. So, if you will, open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm just going to, when Bill Goodson's here, we sing this a lot. But this is, not this verse, but some of it, that God has called us into to do warfare. And he says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse, let's start with verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. When Jesus called his disciples together, he gave them authority and power. Let me ask you something this afternoon. Are you a disciple?
Amen.
And he's given us power and authority.
Yeah.
And he said that we're to heal. You know, I was telling the ladies upstairs, I said, you know, we need to cast out the spirits and then pray for healing, but we need to find the root cause of the infirmity. I had a phone call this morning. I called a lady from my church that I had ministered to last week sometime. I guess it was Sunday, last Sunday. If it's either Sunday or Wednesday, which it wouldn't matter. But she has some kind of disease where the doctors had said that she was taking a lot of blood thinner. and she was having trouble with her muscles in her legs, and she had fallen a time or two in this church, just walk across the floor and fall. And in our church, we believe in going after the demons to get people delivered. And if we manifest them, it's a lot easier to get them delivered from it. And if some people won't let a spirit manifest in them, but this girl had been delivered from a lot. She'd been delivered from lupus years ago. And we had a man in our church that was delivered from epilepsy through casting out the spirits. We had a lady heal from the blood cancer, leukemia, by casting spirits. My little granddaughter didn't minister to that lady, I won't tell you. And she was healed. She went back to the doctor, and they couldn't find any trace of the cancer. Why didn't the Lord heal your husband? I don't know. I'm not God. But I want you to know that we believe that, I believe, let me put it this way, I believe, and in my church I teach it, that sickness, most of it, I say all of it, is demonic. And so when Jesus said here, and he gave the disciples authority to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases, and verse 7 says, he said to them, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, when you go preach the kingdom. And then he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. He said, as you go forth, I've given you authority and power. You believe you have authority?
Yes.
You believe you have the power of the Lord? He's given it to you. He said in Luke 10:19, he'd given us authority and power. And he told his disciples, he said, go forth and heal, but preach the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ within you and I. And that's that authority and power to go forth and do the work of the ministry. And so I wanted to start with this afternoon to say to you, God said, you've got authority. Use it. You know what the Lord's been showing me? That we have compromised so much and are believing that we've got just almost got to the place we don't believe a whole lot. Oh, me. If you can't say amen, say oh, me. Because it's true. It's true. I've told Doc at lunch, I was just so angry. I was so tired of the enemy defeating God's people and them not standing up and taking authority and doing what the Word says. It's the Word of God that brings forth deliverance. It's the Word within us and speaking the Word yourself. You see, we most of the time we confess everything but what the Word says. We confess sickness. We confess defeat. We confess all of the things that are going on instead of what the Word says. And we need to come forth and speak the Word of God boldly. Because you see, God's given us authority. He's given us the power and authority to do so. Go over to Matthew chapter 12 and let's look at a scripture there, okay? We're going to go a lot of different directions, but we're going to have to hurry, I guess. We're going to do it in deliverance. I got so carried away upstairs, we didn't have a whole lot of time to do it, but we had a lot of good deliverance. And we're going to finish it this afternoon. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil. You know, when people read that and they see that word possessed, they become afraid when you say something about them having a spirit. Well, I'm not possessed. Well, people are afraid to confess that they might have a demon. Let me tell you, you better start getting rid of them until they take over such a hole. Have you ever seen people that are so demonized that they really, they can't hear what you're saying? They cannot hear it. And we have a man in our church right now that he's 90 years old. And he always believed in healing. But he had a problem. He cut his toes off. And we couldn't get the bleeding to stop. He was in Memphis, and I was in Millington, and I was praying for him over the phone. And so I was a little bit concerned about him. I felt like he needed to go have his foot cleaned because I didn't know how a 90-year-old man would, what he'd do to his toes. You know, he told me, he said, I bled all over the house. And I said, well, when did this happen? This afternoon I was cutting my grass. I said, you get your neighbor, he has a neighbor, and I said, get him to run you over to the hospital, to the emergency room, let them dress your foot. So he did, and they cleaned it, and they sent him to another doctor, and the other doctor wanted to cut his toes off, the rest of them off. And I don't know what all they did to him, but he went in. I'm telling you all this to tell you what happened to him. He hadn't taken medication in years and years and years. He'd been out of church for almost 20 years, and I know he'd never taken any medication. And they began to give him medicine, and he became confused. He had all kinds of you couldn't talk to him. They put him in hospital, had him in hospital, and they was giving him antibiotics and all this. And when he came home, I had a real hard time trying to get through to him to take, you know, the church was trying to take care of him. And I'm telling you all this to tell you that he went to the doctor, and they spoke all kinds of things over him and started giving him pain medicine. He said, I don't have any pain, but they gave it to him anyways. And that stuff began to work on him. And he took it because he didn't know what he was taking. When he came home and brought it home with him, I asked him, I said, what are you taking this for? And he said, I don't know what it is. So, but all the spirits in him began to manifest. He had had a lot of deliverance, but he was like some of us that never get in deliverance for anything but physical things. When they hit you, you know, he'd get deliverance. He'd come in, he'd say, I got this, would you pray? And I'd pray, and he'd get healed just like this because he believed God to heal him. But he never got any, he has never gotten any deliverance for like witchcraft and occults and stuff he had years ago had been involved in, all the different churches he had run through, some different, I don't even remember all the names of the places he'd been, and he'd been involved in chemistry and all of this. Well, all those things have begun to manifest in him. Not all at one time, but he'll come in the church sometimes, and it's just, he'll sit there, and he sits on the front row. I like to go to the back to preach, so I don't have to deal with it, because it's just like every spirit in him is coming at me sometimes, and he can't hear what I'm saying. The enemy will take it and twist it, and then I have to try to straighten him out. So I'm telling you all this to tell you that we need to get deliverance for all the things that we know is there. Not just if I've got a headache, get rid of a headache. Or if I've got a sore foot, get rid of it. You say, well, I don't have any problems. Ask your wife. Wives, ask your husband. They'll tell you. God is trying to clean his church up. And if we want to get healed and delivered, we're going to have to get it all out and not pick and choose. You know, we sometimes get deliverance cafeteria style. I want this out, but don't touch that. You know, I've been there. I said, don't be so brave with that. But I, like, when we go to doing deliverance, I drink a lot of coffee. And it's some of the minister's delight to go after caffeine. Well, I get delivered from caffeine. I go a long time without drinking as much as I normally do. And the minute I take a cup, I just let it right back in. You see? So what's that got to do with it? Let's look at this scripture here now. He said, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. There was a spirit of blindness in his eyes. He couldn't see, could he? Didn't the scripture say he was blind and he couldn't talk? He was dumb. There was a spirit in his tongue. We did some deliverance yesterday on the spirits and the tongues. But what I'm trying to show you is that when Jesus called those out, he said, and all the people were amazed when Jesus called them out. He said, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. He healed him. How did he heal him? The demon was gone, and he was healed. A lot of times we pray for a person that's sick, maybe cast the spirit out, but do you remember to pray for healing for what the damage the demon did? We need to pray healing as well as deliverance. Pray to call the spirits off and then pray for them to be healed. And you know, a lot of times people will get healed, come up and get healed and receive healing through deliverance and laying on of hands. Jesus, I'm going to give a scripture in a minute, for he laid hands on them for healing after he cast the spirit out. But then they turn around, and when they leave the church, they go out, and the enemy will come and say, you didn't get anything, did you? Well, you still got the pain. In fact, it's worse. Over in Matthew 12, in verse 43 through 45, Jesus said that the unclean spirit, when it's gone out, goes out and walks in the dry places and finding no rest, he turns around and he goes back to his house. The body is called his house. It's his, he said. And he finds it clean, swept, and garnished, but empty. So you see, when we get rid of something, when God has healed us or delivered us from something, we need to fill up on the Word. The Word says that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed 2,000 years ago. He said he sent his Word and healed them of their diseases and delivered them from their destruction. He said in his Word, God's not a man that he should lie. God's Word does not lie. He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm trying to show you that we have gotten to the place where we don't really believe anymore. You say, well, I do. The enemy comes and he throws his big guns at you. He'll say, well, I'm just going to try and see. I was telling those girls upstairs, I said, I'll probably tell this again, so I'm going to tell it again. I was doing deliverance the other day in church, and I manifested a girl, and she was getting deliverance, and then a ruler's prince came in from the heavenlies, and he told me, he told me that he knew why God loved the human. But he also told me that they don't believe. He said, y'all are the dumbest people I know. He said, you don't even believe you're God. He said, yes, I do. I wouldn't debate with a demon. I didn't ask him to talk. He was just talking, and I was listening. Because I'd been in the scriptures, I'd been in Job, and I'd been looking where I was doing a study on that Job was a perfect man, an upright man before God, and the devil had to have permission to test him and try him. And I was saying, why are so many people having so many problems? God, are you trying our faith to see if we'll stand or see if we'll fall flat of our face? And that stupid demon told me that I had failed every test. He was pretty smart. He told me I knew it failed. He said, you go around and you whine. And you say, God, I'm so lonely. How'd you like to have somebody tell you all this? I wanted to hit her instead of spirit. But I was listening. And he said, you know, I told your God. And you said, no, you talk to demons? Sure, I learned a lot. I heard Derek Prince say he learned more listening to a demon working on a woman 5 hours and casting out demons than he had learned 5 years in going to school. And I tell you what, if you listen and try the spirits and listen to what they're saying, God will talk to you and tell you what's going on. He sure talked to me, and it made me mad got me so mad I got back into deliverance again. I'd been playing around with it. I'd just been the touch-and-go kind. Come on out. Oh, you're okay. Go on. We'll do some more later. But I got into real deliverance because I got mad. When that demon read my mail, he'd been in my house. He said, I've been up to your God talking to your God. You said, I don't believe that. Well, I didn't believe it either. But when he began to tell me all this, he said, your God told me he wouldn't let me kill you. He said, I want to kill you, but he won't let me. That's interesting because I knew I'd been fighting a lot of stuff. He said, he's got work for you to do. But you failed every test that he's tried you. And I said, who are you? You know, I want to know who I'm talking to. I'm real smart. I mean, I'm really in discernment. And he said, you've been reading about me. He said, you've been reading all week about me. So I see what you're doing. He said, and now, I thought, Lord, you know, I study. I read a lot of the morning. I spend several hours in the Word of the morning. And I thought, I had been studying Job a while back, earlier in the week. And I said, oh, okay, Lord, who is this? And he said, Lucifer, a spirit of Lucifer. I thought, now that's the devil. The devil's telling me that. It wasn't God. You know, a spirit of Lucifer? And I said, Lord, how can it be? And then he reminded me that there are many spirits of Lucifer. There are many spirits of Jesus, you know, that we're reading the scripture about. And so this thing had told me all this stuff. And I told him, come out of her. And he said, he wasn't going to do it. And I said, okay, if you want to stay, just stay. I'll bind you. And then you can't come out in the name of Jesus until I left you. When I got back to the deliverance on her, he was glad to go. I loosened him and let him go. But my whole point of telling you this is that thing knew all about me. He told me that we went to war, and I thought, you don't have to tell me we're in a war because I know I'm in a war. You know, people tell me, don't talk to demons that Jesus didn't. If you'll read those scriptures where Jesus told those demons not to talk, he said that he didn't want them to talk because they were telling who he was, and it wasn't time for the world to know who he was. And so we closed off all of it, and we wouldn't have to talk probably to a demon sometime if we were spiritual enough to hear what God's trying to say to us. I admit that I don't hear the Lord like I want to, but I tell you one thing, I'm going to, and I'm going to obey the Lord. You know, I got nothing to lose. I got nothing to lose. You say, to follow the Lord, and I'm going to follow him wherever he goes. I want to be one that follows the Lamb wherever he goes. I was telling girls upstairs this afternoon, I said, I know y'all don't want me to tell you what I told them, but I'll tell you anyways, that I said, I don't have but one boss. I used to have two, but now I only have one because my husband is no longer there. And so I try my best to be obedient to the Lord. And I say, Lord, you know my makeup and you know me. And so you have to talk to me so I can understand it. And so I was asking him today about, I had two sermons and I wanted to know which one he wanted me to preach down here. And he said, I want you to do healing and deliverance and show people. And this is just part of it because we're going on into some of it's in the occult if I have time. But he said, because my people are not believing and they're backing away. And God wants us to go forth. He wants us to be healed and delivered and go forth and get others delivered and healed. How many here in the church are in deliverance that are doing that's working on people doing deliverance? You see, you've all been called. What am I trying to say? It's for everyone. God's called us all to do deliverance. He said, over Mark, he said, the believer will do deliverance. He said, the believer will cast out demons. And so if you're a believer in God's word, when you pray for someone for healing, you might need to cast a spirit out of them. You might need to bind something and break curses over them. You might need to do that before you pray for healing for them. And then when you do that, we need to teach people after you've ministered to them, get them into the word. Get into the word. Fill that house. Get the word in your spirit. See, so much of the time we've got the word in our head. And it doesn't do us any good until we get it in our heart. What does the word say? Over in Psalms, it says, I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against God. And so we need that word in us to build our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I know you know all this, but you know sometimes you need to repeat, speak it, let your ears hear it, so you'll believe it, because you hear and you believe what you say. Go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Luke 13, chapter 13, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. See, he loosed her from the spirit that had bound her together. She was bent over. You see people sometimes that are walking really bent over like this? Well, they're bound by the enemy. Yes. And he loosed her from that spirit, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. He loosed her from the bondage, because let's read on. He said in verse 14, And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work in them. Therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. See, the religious spirits will come against what you're believing and try to steal your faith. They came against Jesus. And then the Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound to these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? He said Satan had bound her for 18 years. You know, the Lord just quickened something to me. I had been going to teach on the gates of hell. I've been doing a study on the gates of hell. I'd never heard anybody teach on it. The gates of hell is the principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world. And God is wanting us, when you're binding, to bind the gates of hell. Do you bind the gates of hell when you bind? We need to bind the gates of hell and come against the principalities and powers and the rulers and kings. You see, when this spirit came into this woman, he came in to stop the deliverance. That's what he was there for in her. And well, she was getting quite a bit, but this was another area of the gates. You know, I'm getting off track, but I want to show you that Jacob, when he... I think it was Jacob's letter when he said that he saw a gate of heaven. This is the gates of heaven, he said. So there's a gate into heaven. There's a gate into the earth. And when you study on the gates of hell, you go back and you find that that's where the rulers of the city and so forth gathered, where the power was. That's where the power is. And if we'll go against the power that Jesus said in Matthew 16, and I may get to that scripture, I don't really know, that he said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And if we don't come against the gates of hell, it will prevail against us and override us. You said, not me. It'll catch you on your blind side. It will do it. And God is saying, wake up, church. Start taking authority. And let's get the church healed and delivered so we can do the warfare he's called us to do and be the warriors, the disciples to go forth and free the bound in this earth of ours. Didn't we hear just last night or a night before last? Must have been night before last. That the world is going to start coming in and going to need ministering to. Why, if we're always needing ministry ourselves, how are we going to be prepared to minister to those that God's going to bring into the church? See, the world out there that has not known the word and has not known about the power of God, it's going to come into the church, and it's going to be you and I that's going to have to do the work. So we've got to get ourselves free so we can do the work that God wants us to do, that we can show the power and authority of the kingdom of God by ministering deliverance and healing to God, to the people. Amen?
Amen.
Let's see. And he said, in verse 17, and when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I can remember many times when people don't get are not real happy about people being healed or delivered, because it's not what all the churches teach and believe. It's not. If the churches were teaching deliverance, we could get everybody delivered. And nothing, and real quick, go to Mark's Gospel in chapter 9. I was sitting at my desk must have been Thursday morning. I was sitting at the table Thursday morning over in the trailer, and I was asking the Lord what he wanted me to teach, and he had informed me. I talked yesterday upstairs on the soul, and the Lord got to talking to me. I'm going to tell you all this because some of you, I won't get another opportunity to talk to you about it, so I want you to hear this. God spoke to me, and I was going out studying on the soul again, and he said to me, call the spirits out of the soul, out of your soul. And I said, I thought I had, you know, breaking soul ties and so forth and so on. You know, the soul can be fragmented. Psalm 7:2 says that the soul was torn when there was none to deliver. And, you know, Psalm 23 says, he restoreth my soul. Psalm 19:7 says, excuse me, he said the word is of God is sure it restores the enlightening the eyes. Let's see. It restores the soul anyways. I forgot how it's reading, but right now. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Converting the soul is what it says. But if you look at that word converting, it says restoring. And so I said, Lord, I had been calling my soul back for a long time. And, you know, we have soul ties and we have our soul fragmented. And so I was called it back. And he said, call the spirits out of your soul. And he said, call them out of your brain, out of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And I thought, well, Lord, won't hurt. Here goes. So I sat down at the table. I was sitting at the table, and I began to call spirits out of my soul. And I began to deliver. I mean, big time. You see, let me tell you why I'm telling you this. Thank you, Lord. You know why I'm telling you this? Some of us older folks sometimes have trouble with remembering. We'll start to say something and we'll lose the thought, and it's like something blocks it, just cuts it off, and you can't. I mean, it's just really. Well, I just broke my watch. Praise the Lord. You can't remember where you were or what you were going to say. And I thought, Lord, I'd been praying and asking the Lord to show me why that was happening. And, you know, the world says when you get older, you have a poor memory, and you got this and you got that. Well, not me. I'm 73 years old. I don't plan to get that way. I'm going to work at it as long as the Lord shows me what to do. So, anyways, I was calling it out, and I was saying, Lord, I want that thing out that's out of my soul that blocks my memory when I lose a word and can't remember what it is. And then he told me, he said, you call it out of your will. You want to do something, God is telling you to do it, and you procrastinate, and you next thing you know, you don't do it at all. And there's something there that was blocking me from doing what God has told you to do. And so, as he was showing it to me, I don't think I've got my notes with me, but I wrote down all that I did call out. As he was showing it to me, I was just saying, Lord, cleanse my soul, bring everything out of it that the enemy has put there. See, we know that demons are spirits, and they go in. And when he tears that, takes a part of you or does something to you, when the devil does, he leaves something in its place. And I'm telling you, for about 30 minutes, I got deliverance. And my memory and my mind has been so much clearer since then. I'm not through yet. I still do it. I believe in doing it till you know that you're free from it. And I tell you, it has made all the difference in the world. And I praise the Lord that he reminded me, had shown me to do this. Because when people say, you're getting old, you know, you don't have to get old. Amen. We got years. We're in years. We go after the spirit of aging, don't we, Doc? Get it off. I tell you. Get it off. I'm not all the way off, but I'm still working on it. But the thing is, don't let people tell you, you know, that you don't can't. You're old and it's just normal. It's not normal. Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his natural strength was not abated, and his eyesight was not dim. And the word tells us, look, the other patriarchs in the Bible lived 800-900 years old. You think they would walk around like some of us do today? No. They believed God, and God was restoring, and I say, Lord, restore my youth. I feel young inside. Do something with this body so I can keep up with my spirit man. And I'm going to preach and do deliverance till the Lord tells me stop or takes me home or comes one. I don't care. You know, it's up to him which. But I need all the strength and all of my ability. I cut my yard. I'm God's restoring it. So get your soul back. Get it cleansed. If you sit down and do it by yourself. You don't need anybody to pray for you. You do it yourself. Say, Lord, cleanse my mind. Cleanse my will. Drive out everything that's in there that's not supposed to be there. And I always say, Lord, restore it like you did when you created me in my mother's womb. And God is wanting to do that for us. He's wanting to cleanse us. He's wanting us to believe him. You know, it works according to what you believe. I stepped on that and it didn't feel good. I'm barefooted. Praise the Lord. Deliverance works for you according to what you believe. If you don't believe you have any demons, forget it. But if you know you've got some, if you've got some talking to you, you know, the word says in 2 Corinthians 10, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, that imagination, a lot of times, is something sitting up there saying, you know, it isn't going to work, and that woman's out of her mind. No, I'm not. Not in this world as I'm going. And so, you know, the enemy does everything he can to try to talk us out of what God's trying to tell us. That ain't cost you a thing. I just thought I'd throw that in, tell you, you can get your soul. He wants it delivered. Over in Mark's Gospel, you there yet? Chapter 9, let's start with verse 17. He said, and one of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have, this is when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and the disciples had been doing deliverance. But what I want you to see is this on these spirits. You know, the scripture talks about unclean spirits, but they're all unclean. I haven't met a clean one yet. So, you know, when it says an unclean spirit, he's talking about a demon that's there doing and trying to destroy. He said, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, and which has a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to my disciples that they could, to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He said unto, he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, as of a child. Oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. See, he was telling Jesus that this demon was throwing him in the fire. He was foaming at the mouth. And he was having a seizure of some kind, a fit. A lot of times when we see something like that, we'd run. We ought to run to them and minister to them and call the spirit demon out. You know, I've seen all kinds of things in the 20 years I've been in deliverance. And what I see here is when Jesus came, the power of God came and manifested that boy. And the power of God will manifest a demon. You know how I got into deliverance? I saw the power of God working through the deliverance. I'd been to church after church and meeting after meeting, and it was good, but it was always seemed to me like that it was something just really missing. I wanted to see God at work, and I went to a deliverance church, and I saw demons manifest, and you said, you mean that turned you on? No, what turned me on to deliverance was the power of God that manifested those demons that didn't want to be manifested. You see, the demons, there's a scripture, and I just found it, was studying just recently, that said that they hide in darkness. They don't want to manifest. And when we don't make them manifest, then they're winning that part of the battle. And when I'm dealing with real rough spirits, if they don't manifest, I'm usually the enemy tries to deceive me, and I'll throw something else out, and I think I got the thing out I was after. But if you manifest that thing and you bind it and you throw it out, you know that you've got that person delivered. I have seen that happen more and more, and I tell you what really excites me about deliverance, that when a person is delivered, they come up off of the floor, and usually they're on the floor, not all times, but a lot of times, and the glory of God's on them, and they come up praising the Lord. I have never seen it fail. Real deliverance, they come up. And what I mean, when those real powerful spirits come out, they come up praising the Lord. And so that's what excited me about the deliverance, is seeing people set free. And so here, I see if a spirit manifests sometimes in a congregation like this, there's people in here would be fearful. But why? You have the Holy Ghost. You have the name of Jesus. He said, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Why would you ever be afraid of a demon? By the way, I want to tell y'all, Doc's a snake handler. I told him I was going to tell that. He caught some snakes one time and put it in his mother's house. I thought I'd wake him up. He was about asleep over there. I was telling him at lunch. let me tell you, I was telling him about some of the experiences I've had since I've been a widow woman, which hadn't been real. It's funny, you can laugh about it now, but it wasn't funny at the time it happened. And I bound a snake, a big old snake in my front yard, and told it to stay there. It wasn't going to move. I bound it in the name of Jesus, and I said, you stay there till I get back. I went and got me something to kill it with. It was still there. I had to go hunt something, and it was still there right where I left it. I was watering my roses, and it was in my yard. See, this is power of God, the reason I'm talking about this. I had one in come in. I don't know where that thing came from. It was in my house. And I've always, up until I got a lot of deliverance from them, I still don't like them, but I still don't like them in my house. I had one come down in my den. Now I had been sleeping on the couch. Normally I would have screamed, hollered, kicked, and called Jim. Jim wasn't in call the hollering distance. I bound it in the middle of the floor. I never told anybody this because I didn't want to anybody say anything about it because I didn't want them to talk to you. I don't like to even look at a snake, let alone a picture of one, let alone have to kill one. And there it was in my house. And there was no help anywhere but me and the Lord. So I bound that thing and I went outside again, went to the shed, found me a hoe, and I came back in and I killed it in my house, took it out. But I bound it. Now what I'm saying, see, every time I see a snake, I think of the serpent, Satan. And I always feel when I see one like this that he's close. And I go binding not only the snake but the serpent and Satan himself. Because I believe that I hate those things. But I want you to know if you believe, you can bind those things. You can bind spirits. You can take your authority. God says whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. When I first got into deliverance, I didn't know how to bind. I never heard of binding. I used to stay up all night doing deliverance because you get a spirit manifested in someone and you didn't know what to do with it. You didn't know how, you didn't get it out. So what do? You don't turn somebody loose when they're like that. So when we learned about binding and recognized, when I recognized the authority that God had given us in the name of Jesus, that you can take authority over spirits. And I'm saying all this to say, why would you be afraid of someone manifesting a spirit and someone manifesting that you have no idea what kind of torment that individual may have been going through, and yet God was manifesting that thing so they could get free and serve the Lord. So I'm saying to you now, you say, I don't like that kind of thing. Well, you tell the Lord that you don't like that part of his ministry. That's part of God's ministry. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much of it? A lot of his ministry was deliverance. And he's given the authority to you and I to cast spirits out. And when this one manifested, I can imagine people ran in every direction. I've had it happen in my church. You don't think I don't know what I'm talking about. I forgot to tell you. The Lord has a church. I tried to get out of it, and the Lord wouldn't let me out. I have asked the Lord to release me from it so I can just be lazy, I guess. But the Lord's kept me there. And do you know why he's kept me there? He teaches me deliverance in that church. And so we have the authority that he's given us, and he wants us to take that authority and use it and do the work. And so when I said I've seen this happen, can I share a little bit more about what happened? I was ministering one time, our church, and we had, I guess, 75 people there. I was praying for this lady, and she got loose. She ran, and she tried to climb the wall. And when I said she got loose, well, she was sitting on the front row, and we were just praying for her, and she ran. She tried to climb the wall, and she was over there like a cat. Her hands were claws, and she was literally trying to climb the wall. And people in there just had a fit. Some of those women just had a fit. And I thought, you have no earthly idea what kind of torment that girl had been going through. And she would get in her car. Let me tell you, that was a cat spirit. And I'm telling you why I'm telling you it's a cat spirit. She would get in her car and drive at night and just go, my son tried to follow her one night just to see where she was going. He couldn't keep up with her. He got in his car. She passed his house. He lived out in Shelby Forest. And she went. She got away from him. He said, Mother, I was just going to see where she goes. We knew she was getting in her car, going everywhere, and nobody knew where she went. And she didn't know. She didn't even know she was doing it. And sometimes she would come to herself, and she'd be out, and she didn't even know where she was. I've had her call me and say, I don't know where I am. Can you tell me how to get home? I said, how can I tell you how to get home if I don't know where you are? And the Lord said, well, send the angels for her. So I said, Father, send your angels and get her back. And maybe an hour later, she'd drive up my yard. But when we cast that spirit of the cat out of her, she didn't do that anymore. Where it came from, it had to be the occult, because as far as I know, she didn't have any cats. But that thing was in her, and it drove her. And when people were having said about her climbing the wall, instead they should have been praying and rejoicing that God was fixing to set her free from something. And I tell you, people, it's time we stop being afraid and being weak-kneed and stand up and say, bless God, I'm going to get up there and see what's going on, and I'm going to do that too. And start setting people free. Start praying when you see the need. You're sitting there, if you're not wanting deliverance and somebody next door to you is trying to get some, don't put your hands on them. Just pray for them and say, come on out of there, come on out of there, and help them. You know, if you'll ever do this and see the power of God working through you to free somebody, it'll just build your faith. You know that deliverance will build your faith. And you see what God's doing. Instead of being afraid and concerned, if they go to yelling, just say, you know, I always say that, it's music to my ears. Because it's God making a demon come out and manifest himself so he can get out and that person can get free. I tell you, I just praise the Lord for when God began to show us how we can help people. And so here Jesus was saying, you know, if you go and read the rest of it, he's telling the disciples the reason they couldn't get him out, get the spirit out, was because of their lack of faith. Yeah, and I've had demons tell me, and they try to do this to you, they'll say, you don't have any faith. And I thought, I'm not talking to you, you come out of there. And they try to get you in doubt, and they'll talk to you in your ears. I mean, you know, when you're wanting healing and you're wanting something, believing God for something, you pray for something, you believe in God for something. And you didn't get it just a minute. You know, you went to him like, sometimes we go to him like he's Santa Claus or, you know. And instead of going, and when we pray, then we've got, when you pray, you stand believing God's already done it and you're going to receive it. You receive it as done. And the devil will come up and say, well, you didn't get anything. You're not going to get that. Who do you think you are? You need to go back over in Daniel and look at Daniel, what Daniel did. You remember Daniel's prayer? And it was 3 weeks getting the answer?
Yeah,
you know, we need to start asking the Lord to protect our prayers sometimes.
Yes.
Because the enemy wants to block them. He doesn't want us to believe. If we get a prayer, when we get a prayer answered, then that's building your faith. And the devil doesn't want you to have it going on. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4. I know it's here somewhere. In Hosea in chapter 4, in verse 6. I was going to start below there, but let's start with 6. He says, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten thy law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Sometimes when we wonder about what's happened to our kids, if we go back to see where our faith is and what we're believing, we've rejected the Word of God. As I said before, we sometimes pick and choose what we want to believe, don't we? Then he said, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough, and they shall commit whoredom. And shall not increase because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and new wine take away the heart. It says, my people ask counsel at their stock, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms have caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from their God. You see, we don't want to confess sometimes we do have idols. And God says that we're not to have them. They will pull us away from God and from His Word. And it gets us into idolatry and then idolatry into whoredom, into witchcraft, into all the things of the occult. And I have people tell me when I'm teaching and I get on a lot of things that we don't like, our sacred cows, and we don't like people to touch them. You know what our sacred cows are. It's our things we don't want to get rid of. And we don't want to listen to the Lord. I have people tell me when I get on, you shouldn't eat pork. and you shouldn't eat unclean things that God talks about. And they'll say, well, you know, I prayed over it. It's okay. And they'll get a dress, or a man will wear a tie that's full of the occult, and they won't do anything about it. They say, well, I just prayed over it. And I said, let me ask you something. What does Scripture say? How can you ask God to bless something He's already cursed? You remember Balaam? He tried to curse the children of Israel. Well, they were blessed of God. And so he couldn't curse them for Balak. So he told Balak how to get through and to destroy them. Get them in, let them intermarry. Let them marry these people that are in the occult and that are worshiping idols and worshiping false gods. And so this is what I see we do. We pray over it and we say, well, I break every curse over it, so it's okay. I can wear it. I can keep it. It's okay. You know, God says you're not to bring an abomination, an abominable thing into your house. In this house or the house in which we live in. So how can I ask God to bless something that He's already called accursed? I have a friend, and I'll tell you this, that Doc taught on the occult up here one afternoon, and I missed it, but I heard about it. I was somewhere else, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he even showed some, did you show some designs or some whatever? Okay. He laid it out. I mean, the symbols and the accursed designs, the cult thing. My friend had a dress that was covered with it, but she liked it. She heard his teaching. She saw it. She kept it, and she wears it. Put it like this: she was wearing it. She may still be doing it, I don't know. But she ended up sick, so she goes to the doctor. See, we don't associate what we just did with us getting sick. We say, well, I prayed over it and it's okay. But God calls it a cursed thing, and if you got it, you got it, and you can't justify it before God. Can you? Can you ask God to bless it if it's already cursed? No. So when we get into all this idolatry and we keep our idols and we don't want to get rid of them, and yet we know what the Word says about it, we are rebelling against the Word of God. And it opens the door to sickness and a lot of other things. Transference of spirits, it could very easily be. You know, spirits transfer. I don't know. I've never seen that. I believe in transference of spirits, and I don't believe in... I really don't think we ought to walk up and lay hands on people behind it, and they don't know it. We don't need to let people lay hands on us. And we need to remember that in the Scripture, when hands were laid on people, it was to... What was it for? To impart the anointing to the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, in the New Testament, it was for the Holy Ghost. And yet, we walk up and stick hands on people without asking their permission or saying, you don't know where people came from. You don't know what they've been involved in. Listen, I don't want people's hands on me. And the only reason, and I'll tell you this, the reason I'm saying this, in deliverance, the enemy would love, well, I tell you, you got to have an open door for spirits to come in. But you see, we don't know how many doors we've got open. And the Scripture over in the First Peter, Peter said, the enemy goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom so he can devour. So there's spirits that... I was sitting in front of you guys last night, and I looked down. I wasn't the only one who saw it. Jane was sitting with me, and I said, there goes a demon. He was just walking, going across the floor. And she saw it that time I did. She said, I wouldn't say anything because I wasn't sure. And I said, I saw it. And so you don't know how many are following you. You know that, just let me finish, would you? And you don't know how many is following you and are around you, waiting for you to open the door. So transference of spirits is real. Go back to the Hebrew, the Israelites, when the spies went into to spy out the land.
Look how that spirit transferred there, that unbelief. Well, Joshua and Caleb said, oh, we can go and take the land. God said, go take it. They knew they could. The rest of them said, no, there's giants in the land. And what happened? All those people, that spirit transferred to all those people. And they didn't go in. And look what happened to them. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. So people, listen, we're in a world. If God opened our spiritual eyes and would let us see what's around us. You talking about being so scared? You'd probably be scared silly. It's truth. See, the spiritual world is more real than this one we're in. I had a lady tell me, and I praise God for it. I came out of the ladies' meeting yesterday just absolutely drained. And she said, came to me later, and she said, she saw what was coming at me. And I said, man, I was drained. I knew I was in war. Spirits in people, spirits of unbelief, spirits that people that will sit and say, think, well, you know, I could do better than that, which is probably true. But see, God's called me to do it, so I'm doing it. So
that's why since you've been teaching, I've been interceding.
I appreciate that because it's been easier. Thank you. So I praise the Lord for it because it the enemy just comes at you. You know, I didn't have as much trouble as I have now because my husband used to sit right there and intercede for me while I was doing deliverance, praying and teaching. But God wants us to know that we need to clean up our lives and we need to be concerned about all the things that God tells us not to do. We need to be obedient. I want to obey God. Don't you want to obey God? If we will clean up and obey Him, and I always say, Lord, show me if I've missed it, and He will show us if we ask Him, if we're willing to hear it and see it. I'm going to, let's go over to Mark 5. Praise the Lord. Mark 5, and this is on the, well, I'm in 6 again, gathering demonic. And he said, in verse 2, it says, when he had come out of the ship, talking about Jesus, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. You know, I want to stop right there and go back to that unclean spirit, since he was said that about that unclean spirit. You know, when a person is involved, and I'm going to use this because I know this for to be a fact, that in perversion and a lot of unclean sex and all of this, that unclean spirit comes upon a person and they begin to look unclean. I mean, oily-like, greasy-like, and they can come out of, take a shower and come out, and it's not, it's a spirit that's possessing them, that's taken over in them, and so that thing is gone. It will continue to bring people into all kinds of perverted things, and it will destroy a person. When you go back, I'm gonna kind of stop. I'm gonna read this, finish the scripture, and then I'm gonna share something else. He said, a man with an unclean spirit, and he said, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. That unclean spirit stayed in the, went out, took that man out in the, he said, always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs. They hide in darkness. They don't want the light shining on them. They'll pull the shades in the house and they'll close the doors and they usually do the things that they do at night because it drives them out at night. And until that thing is taken care of, that spirit will, it's there to destroy them, and it will do its best to destroy them.
Okay? And I want to say this. I was talking upstairs about this. I've got some more scripture, but if I go through them, I don't have time during deliverance. So, on the homosexuality and lesbian spirits, we hear people saying now that they're born that way, and they're not. They are not born that way. I don't care what the government says or what the words or what the newspaper says or the TV. I was saying upstairs, people can be delivered from this if they want to. And I'm going to use this as an illustration to tell you that you can't get an unclean spirit out of someone if they don't want it. If they don't want to be free, you're wasting your time. You can't get any spirit out of anyone if they don't want it. Now, as I said upstairs, that homosexual thing can come in through molestation of a child, as a little child. I gave an example because of something that I know about a child that was molested. And when he grew up, he was so confused, he didn't know whether he was homosexual or not because of the abuse he had. But then he has found out he's fixing to get married. And I know that I was telling that the couple that came to us from the mission came to our church, wanted to learn deliverance, and they were working with the mission people. And I had shared on the homosexual spirit and how that God doesn't make that a person homosexual. They are usually turned into one through abuse, sexual abuse. And this couple of ours that came to our church went back to the mission. They literally wrote down the sermon that I had preached on it and went back to the mission. And they were preaching it in the mission. There was a lot of guys in there, you know, that had been involved in homosexual activities. And this one guy was so tormented, he came to them and he asked this man and his wife, said, "Would y'all pray for me?" And they did. And he was freed. He was set free from it. They said, I think it took them about 5 hours, they said, that they prayed and went after it. And so when they got through, he said he went and cleaned up. He had long hair and beard, you know, the whole, you know, just looked dirty, you know. Well, the unclean spirit was there. And I don't know what all they did get out of him, but when he came back, he had cut his shave. He didn't cut his beard off, but he, you know, shaved it and trimmed it and cleaned himself up, and he was praising God. He said, "I want y'all to know," he said, "you don't know what you did for me." He said, "I have cried and cried out for help." And he said, "I had no idea I could be free." So you see, when a person wants to be free, they can. But it's all in whether you want to be or not. And so I always say, God won't deliver you from your friends. You see, a friend is something you won't hang on to. I'll tell you one more story, then I'm going to do deliverance. It's not a story, it's the truth. Lady in our church, I ministered to her for 12 years. I was so sick of her. So sick of her. I didn't want to go to church. I got so sick of that woman. I prayed and prayed for her. And she'd go out the door. I feel better. I wasn't doing deliverance to make her feel better. I was trying to set her free. And she'd go out the door and she'd walk right back into the garbage and come back in, and she's worse than first. And we continued praying for her, and I began to call her soul back. I didn't know she didn't have a soul. And I found out her soul had been, almost every bit of it, been removed. And when I got enough of her soul back that she could stand, she could understand. She's told me since then, she said, "I couldn't hear anything you were saying to me." She said, "I couldn't understand. It was just a lot of gibberish. So I could not hear anything." But when we began to get her soul back, she began to hear the word. God began to do a work in her. We had to get her saved. She wasn't saved. See, she always talked about God, but she was hearing voices, and they talked to this voice, talked to her all the time, and that really was her God. He was in control of her. And so when we got enough of her soul back, I was after it. I was doing some deliverance on her one day, and every time we did deliverance on her, we called her soul back. We'd say, "Lord, restore her soul." And a spirit in her manifested and told us that if we hadn't been praying for her, that she would have been theirs that she was, they almost had all of her soul, and said that she would have been totally theirs if she hadn't come to our church and we started calling her soul back. So that's why we knew that she didn't have a soul. But after we got her soul back, we led her through to the Lord. And today, she is just, I'm telling you, the Lord has just done such a work, and she's going in to do deliverance. I still won't let her do deliverance yet because we haven't got the strong man out. But she'll sit way back and pray, way back in the back, and she'll pray. She said, the Lord knows I'm going to do deliverance, and I will be free. And she said, I'm going to pray and help other people that have come through what I've been through. So she fought us in every way she could. So until a person is where they can stand and do want deliverance, you're wasting your time to pray for them. You say, well, what about just getting them like you did her? Well, you got to be sure that there's enough within them that they do really want help. That little girl in her was crying out for, she'd been abused when she was a little bitty girl, sexually abused, and this thing had just almost totally destroyed her. But she was crying out for help. And so God is willing. If we're willing, God will set us free anytime. Amen? Anybody wanting deliverance? How are y'all all delivered this afternoon? Praise the Lord. Well, I didn't see anybody want any, but we'll do some anyways, okay? Those that might want some. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word, Lord. It seems like we never get through, but Lord, you know. And I pray that we've shared enough that will encourage people to receive deliverance. If there's a physical problem this afternoon, Lord, we want to go against those spirits. And in the name of Jesus, I thank you for that authority that's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I bind again the spirits in this place. I ask for the angels of the Lord to come in and stand guard, Father, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, your word says, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And you said in your word that deliverance is a children's bread. And so, Father, as children of yours, as we call upon you this afternoon, we just ask you to do a mighty work in the mighty name of Jesus. And we praise you and give you glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You got your feet flat on the floor and you uncross your arms. And in the name of Jesus, we come against the spirits of, I'm going to go after spirits of incest to start with and abuse. In the name of Jesus, I come against incest and abuse. In the name of Jesus Christ, loosen and let them go. Turn them loose and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out of there. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against physical spiritual blindness and blindness and cataracts. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, spirits of deafness. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. Migraine headaches, seductive spirits, shame and guilt, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want some deliverance now, if nothing's happening, breathe in and breathe out and work with me to get them out, okay? In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of them. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I come against all the inherited curses, and I call out those diseases, every disease. I call out the spirits that are in the soul. Come out of them now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. And spirits of diabetes, high blood pressure, low blood sugar, and high blood sugar, arthritis, asthma, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of there, let them go. Loosen them and let them go. I come against heart attacks and strokes, high blood pressure, eating of the blood. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. Skin cancer, tumors, and growths and cysts. I come against fear of cancer in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. All the fears, cancer, transferred from family line, come out in Jesus' name. Turn them loose and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against spirits of confusion. I come against schizophrenia, paranoia. In the name of Jesus, spirits of madness. Insanity. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Turn them loose in Jesus' name. Bell's palsy. All kinds of female trouble. Cancer of the blood. Cancer of the bone. Cancer of the liver. And the cancer of the lungs. Come out of there now. Cancer tumors in the breast. Come out of there now in the chest. Come out of there now. Strokes and high blood pressure. Come out
every curse that comes in from the eating of the blood. Let them go. Let them go. Come out there now. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. Listen and come out there. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. All suicide spirits, inferiority, insecurity, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I call out every spirit of adultery. I break every curse of adultery and call it out in Jesus' name. Hatred, I call the tormentors out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mind control, turn them loose and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I come against that unclean spirit and I call it out. You unclean spirit, let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call out blindness, dumbness. I call the dumb spirit out of the tongue and the blindness out of the eyes in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all unbelief, haters of God, sexual impurity, lasciviousness, immorality, spirits of abortion, spirits of murder, spirits of destruction, let them go and let come out. Come on out there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, turn loose and come out. Come on out there. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call out alcohol, addiction to alcohol, desire, taste. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, spirits of darkness, astrology, horoscope, soothsayer, palm reading. Come on out and let them go. Anybody got anything they want me to call out?
Anger.
I call out the spirit of anger. I break its power and command it to go. Anger, come out of there. Let them go. Turn them loose and come out of there. And violence that goes with it. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. Turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name. Anger, violence, wrath, in Jesus' name. Turn loose. Come on out of there. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loosen them. Loosen them and let them go. In the name of Jesus. Rebellion. Spirits of rebellion.
Cancer.
Temper tantrum. In the name of Jesus. All of it. Come on out of there. Let them go. Anger, temper tantrums, violence, wrath. Come on out there. Let them go. Anybody got anything they want to call? Tell me, so I'll call it. So we'll get what your problem is. Huh? A spirit of complaining and whining. Come out there now in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Let them go. Come on out there. In the murmuring, in the name of Jesus. Backbiting. Huh? Pouting in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. I call out all the lust, spirits of lust, spiritual perversion. Come out of there. Incest, child molestation, bitterness, resentment. Come out of there. Self-pity. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of grief. Grief. Come out of there in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Unforgiveness. Come out of there in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rebellion, disobedience. Come out of there now. Rage, anger, wrath. Come out of there. Resentment, hatred. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If some of this stuff is there and you ain't not getting any movement, cough. I got a lady in my church that sits there. She'll just sit there and sit there. And I said, cough. And when she does, she begins to really deliver. Has to run get a bucket for her every time. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. Let her go. Let them go. Let them go. Come out of there. Anger, wrath, rage, resentment, hatred. In the name of Jesus. Bestiality. Come out of there. Confusion, death. All the spirits of death. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of destruction. Let them go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of there. In the name of Jesus, let them go. In the name of Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out. In the name of Jesus, depression, spirits of destruction, Asmodeus. I call out Asmodeus, Osmodeus, come out of there now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let them go. I call the 100 souls out. I call out and command you to go. Turn them loose and come out of there. All the witchcraft, in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out of them. Turn them loose and come out of their witchcraft. Come out of them. Let them go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, loosen. In the name of Jesus, I come against this python spirit. And I break its hold and I command it out in Jesus' name. I call that python out. You come out of there now in Jesus' name. I bind your power and command you to go. Come out of them in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Turn them loose. Turn them loose in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to share upstairs on the python tomorrow if the Lord allows. I call out that complacency in the name of Jesus. I call the Ahab spirit out in the name of Jesus. Ahab, come out of there. Come out of them. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose. Let them go. Come out of there now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Let them go. Come out of there. Come out of there now. Spirit of complacency, spirit of Ahab. Come out of there. I break that Ahab curse in the name of Jesus now. Call it out. Come on out of there. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of procrastination, complacency. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus Christ, let them go. In Jesus' name, all the witchcraft, I call it out. I call the Jezebel spirit out. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Come on out of there. I call out all the witchcraft. I break every curse of the witches. I call the witch spirits out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, turn them loose and let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Loosen them. Let them go in Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You get it? Good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you for deliverance. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you. And we ask you now, Father, let's ask the Lord to fill us, okay? Father, we just ask you to fill each and every one of us, Father, with the spirits of the Lord. Spirits of wisdom, spirit of the Lord, fear of the Lord, counsel, might. Give us, Lord, loose within us a sound mind, power, love, and a sound mind. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind every spirit that's been cast out and ask for the angels to sweep this place, cleanse them out, that they will not hinder anything you want to do. In Jesus' name, take them out, angels, and take them to the pit. In Jesus' name, I bind backlash and retaliation in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name. Well, isn't he good? Isn't he good? Hasn't the Lord done all he said he would? He died on Calvary that we might be set free. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless the food. We break every curse over it. We thank you for it. Lord, bless the cooks, the ones that's ministering in the kitchen. Lord, just wrap them in your love for all that they've done for each of us. We thank you for the food. We thank you for all that you're doing. And we give you glory and honor, Father, because you're God. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.